Brother Terry came to St. Louis for the Midwinter General Board meeting at the invitation of N.A. Urshan. Brother Urshan had heard Brother Terry somewhere speaking and decided that he wanted him to come and address the General Board. So Brother Terry came. We all met in the chapel at the World Evangelism Center in Hazelwood, Missouri. And Brother Terry began to speak to the General Board. Brother Terry had white tennis shoes on. He had no teeth. And he was without peer. He was not intimidated. The same could not be said for the General Board. I think they were somewhat intimidated by this man who spoke to them for over 3 hours. They were sitting there like a bunch of third graders caught in the act. Brother Terry had asked me to read for him, and so I was sitting on the platform. And my heart was bursting with pride. I was so proud of my pastor. And here he was talking to the General Board, and they received him very graciously. They were very kind to him, but he had a message on his heart, and he spoke until he was finished, some 3 hours and 15 or 20 minutes, I think it was. And that was Brother Terry's message to the General Board.
You may be seated. I wish people let me introduce myself. They tell things on me that I have never recognized in myself. I count it a great privilege to be here, and I think whoever chose me for the job missed it. I want to tell you all a story I've been telling around here. It's a joke. Now, that's a hard thing for preachers to start out with, a joke. But it's going to have something to do with my preaching. I just heard this the other day about a lady. She went to town, went out of town, and while she was out of town, she wired her husband that she had found a coat for $1,200. Could she buy it? So he went down to the telegraph office and said, "No, comma, price too high." The man that took the message left out the comma and said, "No, price too high." She bought a $3,000 coat. Now, I want you to put the commas in where they're supposed to be for me. And where I didn't, one's not needed, don't put it there. But they inflated me like she did that coat. Let me tell you who I am. So I've been seeing you for many years. My name is I.H. Terry. I was born in Midland, Texas, July the 19th, 1912. Brother A.H. Browning baptized me in Jesus' name February the 12th, 1939. I stayed with him 4 years, went out and preached 5 unsuccessful revivals. And Brother Witherspoon was at San Jose when he heard me teach a lesson. And he listened to it. I didn't know if he listened like he did. But there was something about me he liked. Well, don't you like me? Huh? Don't you? Well, he liked me. He just automatically liked me. And he advised me to do what I went to Bakersfield and did. A replica of my first pulpit is downstairs, I believe upstairs. 2 orange boxes. My wife borrowed a typewriter to type the songs. And we had 9 when I left Bakersfield, California, to go preach, Brother A. Browning gave me and my wife $4. I was in during the war. I changed 8 tires in 43 miles. And I went to Bakersfield, and God has been very good to me. He has brought me before you. And who would have ever thought that? That someday I'd stand. You see, I feel more privileged than Brother Urshan. They're not going to put me out, be the thing. You know, I read the happiest 2 times for a Senate was when he was voted in and when he was voted out. I don't know why, since you're not going to vote on me, why I'm under such pressure. I've always thought, well, and I'm counting on having freedom in a little bit. He never failed me to come. But you remember, he has to deal with my ability. And with him and my ability, sometimes his grace is greater than my ability. And that sort of unbalances it. I don't have any peer pressure. You can see that by my mouth. Brother Urshan, they were telling me you had some teeth trouble one time in a preaching. Well, it'd be easier to go this way than to stop in the middle of a message and take care of it, wouldn't it? So, I'm just going this way. I plan, by the grace of God, to preach so much and so good, by the helping grace of God, that you will hardly see the man. You'll hear the words. I don't want to spend all evening saying this, but I did say somebody, please don't get up in the middle of this and say, what's your point, Brother Terry? Because I have a point, but, you know, there's something odd about this. Every person that heard that I was coming here told me what to preach. You go tell them this, or you go tell them that. Now, this is a fact of life. And I plan to say a whole lot that I'm not going to say. But I will do the best I can under the circumstances. I'm going to be 75 in July. Now, some people say, that's not old. You wait till you get here. You will find there's a whole lot of difference. And Brother Pugh said to me last night, I believe it was, said, you're not much older than I am. I believe you said 63. And I'm 74. Brother, I wish you'd go home and write that on the back of a picture that hangs on your wall, that I told Brother Terry he wasn't much older than I was. And when you get here, look at Brother Pugh. It'll be a different story. Far different. Now, my mind is not slipping, but my eyes, my hearing, and practically ever since that I have, it's just like it is in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. This old house. God, don't cast me off in my old age. I want to stay strong. I want to stay strong in the message. And whoever put me up here tonight, I don't want to disappoint them. The Lord would understand better than they would. I'm promising you. But I appreciate United Pentecostal Church. You know, I don't believe like you do in everything. And somebody said, what do you mean you do? Well, somebody said, Brother Terry, you're changing from when you were, I first heard you preach. And I said, well, the Bible says, grow in grace and in knowledge. I've had to go through some changes, because in those days, well, hallelujah, I wished I could go back tonight with my brain and those feelings. It was a different man. If I played football tonight, I'd be sitting in the bleachers. Those days, I wanted to be where the scuffle was. But I wished I could just tell all of you how much I appreciate you, how kind you've been to me, and then to take the responsibility of saying, we want to hear him. Now, I want Brother Johnny King, I want you to sit here and read for me. Is there another microphone? All right. Brother Urshan, you pray for me. I think you had something to do with me coming here. You stand and pray.
Bless my brother Terry.
Grant, Lord.
Let that grace of God that he has spoken about be a great gift for you. We thank you for the man whose consecration is committed to you. We thank you that he's well enough to be amongst us and impart to us with his
faithfulness. Grant it, Lord. All right, I'm going to start this tonight. Now, what I believe Job one time said to his comforters, he said, I'm not inferior to you. I have no quarrel with you tonight, but what I preach, I've had a few public discussions with Campbellites in my early days, and what I preach, if you disagree with it, I would be willing to discuss it with you. Not the whole pack at one time. You pick your camp and give me a good moderator, and he can have one. And we will go for about 2 nights, 30 minutes twice each night, and he can deny or affirm, whichever is best. Now, I didn't say that boasting. I'm just setting defense of the gospel. You can change me if you got book, chapter, verse. You're interested in me, and you care for me. And if you have those things, book, chapter, and verse, I'm looking for good things. I want to grow in grace and in knowledge. But I don't want to lose anything I have attained unless somebody can take it from me with sound doctrine. Is that fair enough? Now, the first verse that I'm going to have, this is not my text. They gave me all the time I wanted. That's good. Honey, that's good.
Yeah.
That's my wife, this little girl. Well, you stand up, would you? I pity the man that lives with a woman, called his wife, that he can't receive good sound criticism from, good strength, good help, and good reasoning. I use my wife many times for, honey, if you see me ever do anything that's not right, nudge me and tell me you missed it tonight. Don't jump on me. Do it kind. Approach me real gentle. Real gentle. But I'm open to it. All right. Exodus 23, 29, and 30. Now, I want to preach a message that you never forget. Amen. Never forget. But if you just get this little portion of this message, and this is not the message, read that to us.
I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land.
Now would you give me the second witness on that in Deuteronomy 7:22? I like to move when I preach, and they said they want to tape this, so I...
Don't worry about that. Pick up the mic out of there and move around if you want.
Thank you. But sometimes I forget I got the mic. What did it say?
And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee.
Now, the whole thing that I see that, it is not done in a hurry. All life is, from birth till you're gone. And it all comes little by little. I was listening to him, Brother Glass, saying how much it would take in education to attain what that young man had attained in the army. He didn't do that in a day. It has been little by little. And times, no doubt, that he wanted to give it up. But he had set his mind and made up his mind that there is some goal in life that I want to reach. But you're going to have to do it little by little. And if you think, for instance, tonight you would baptize if you received the Holy Ghost at the same time, that would have been a wonderful thing for the rapture to take place for you right then. But you see, he left you here to be a conqueror, to be a witness. And in this you've got to grow in grace and in knowledge. If you, I have a powerful right hand. Got a lot of arthritis in it. You got to get grip. I'm saying this to say this. When I grew up around the church with little boys, just teenagers, they said, I would take their hand and I'd squeeze it till they said, that hurts, Brother Terry. And I said, oh, yeah, it hurts. But I said, squeeze back. So every time we ever shook hands after that, they had something in mind. Someday, you're going to hard care for them. They had, little by little, they exercised that right grip. Now, I've got arthritis in this hand, but you can't hurt. And you've got a good hand. That's a pretty good, beefy hand. But for a little man, I got a pretty good grip on it.
You sure do that.
Yes, I do, don't I? Yes, I do, don't I? Yes, I do, don't I? Now, the next time he shakes hands with me, he might get me. Because for an old man, that's pretty good, wouldn't you say?
That's extra.
But I started out with those little fellows, and 5 years went by. I had that church for 40 years. So in this 40 years, some of those men become stout. And they long for the day when I'd say, don't hurt me. That was one of the great things in their life they wanted to conquer, is that grip that Brother Terry had. Well, I missed a lot of gals in the 30s to get that. They didn't understand how that I could get so hard, and yet they, little by little, every time we come to church, every time I shook their hand, every time they put out the best they had, and sometimes they look at it, they did their best when there was a girl around. They didn't want a girl to know under no circumstances that they was going to have water in their eyes. But I'd say, come on, put that water in your eyes. Put that water in your eyes. But the time came when there was no water.
And some of them went on. They must have got to milking cows, because they said, that's enough. I've had enough. Some of them wanted to start moving my arm around over my head. They'd get so mad. They couldn't outgrip me. They just, you know, just... Oh, and I'd say, I don't throw my arm out of joint trying to conquer this. But all of your Christian life, if you're not patient, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, you keep going, and you keep listening, and you keep attaining. And if you fall, tell your enemy, don't rejoice over me, O my enemy, for I shall arise. I'm going on. I'm not quitting. I'm going on. And so through that, now I'm not going to tell you the other side of me. There's a lot of things I wouldn't tell you about me. If you know that scripture that says, your neighbor come and searches you out. I don't want you to ask me a bunch of questions. I can even get you red in the face if I were to ask. Not questions. He'd say, hey, that's none of your business. So it is, but don't be in too big a hurry. If you see a little boy, he's 10 years old, you know what he wants? He wants a 4x4. If you don't know what that is, go to the lumber yard or down to a truck where they sell Dodge trucks. He wants a pretty girl, and he wants money, and he wants a good education. And the potential is all there if he keeps at it little by little. God gives him his strength, and he keeps at it. But you've got to... I have a Bible right here. And a man the other day said, Brother Jerry, I want one of your Bibles. I said, well, what do you want my Bible? He said, you mark it. You've got them all over the country. You handed them to me. They said, let me have that Bible. I said, well, look, Bibles are getting pretty high now. They're getting pretty expensive. And it takes a little while to go through one. But if you stay with it, little by little, made up mind. And so... You know how long it took me to get here? I baptized February 12, 1939, and it took me, what's the date? What's the date? 10th of... 14th. It took me January the 14th, 1987 to get here. That's little by little, I promise you. I didn't do much running there, did I? And you know, you've been there ever since I've ever known you. You were born, seemed to me like you were born there. And I always wanted to attain or reach it. And finally I made it. Up to now. Up to now. All right, so life. The program of life. And the winning of your battles is little by little. But don't quit. Don't quit. If you fall, get up. Don't do like James. I'm going to need some water. But somebody give me some. Don't do what James said. Unless you know who you're talking to. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. I'm not going to tell you. I don't know anybody in here I'm going to tell you my faults. I read in the manual, there's not many things in there. You have a lot of liberty, but I might have done some things you'd say, that's enough. So I'm going to keep those secrets to myself. It said if you ever run the United Pentecost Church down and talk about it, they can call your papers. Lord, I'll send it out right then if you'd be honest with me. Now, let me go on. I want you to remember this scripture as we move on. It's 1 John 3:3. If you ever forget this one, you won't understand some more that I'm going to say. But don't walk out on me, because you'll wonder what this old man said.
and you'll be asking somebody. So just sit and listen it through. You know, you won't kill my spirit if you walk out.
I'll say, that poor man, look what he missed. For what I say is important. When I'm to bring you these scriptures, they're scriptures that God has given me the light on, and you could say, I've had that all the time, Brother Terry. Well, the thrill maybe has run out from you, but it still thrills me. What did this scripture say?
And every man that...
When it started the first verse. 1, 2, 3.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that
but
when he shall
know.
Appear,
Read
we
on.
Know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Next verse.
And every man that
and
hath
every
hope,
man that hath his hope
in him purifieth
him.
Himself.
He what?
Purifieth himself.
He doesn't quit.
Purifieth himself.
He doesn't quit. He doesn't quit. He keeps working. Even if you say you're a failure, Terry, I'm going to keep working. If you say you missed it, Terry, I'm going to keep working. I have made up my mind by the grace of God and all my shortcomings and all my mistakes in life that there's one thing in me that must abide. I have a hope in me. And this hope causes me to purify myself even as he is pure. Now, if you quit, I wish you'd see me before you checked out. But I do not know why, but I made up my mind. Through all my mistakes, through all the secrets of my life, that nobody knows but me and God, I'm going on. And I'm going to keep working at it. You're not going to kill my faith. You're not going to kill my hope. I'm going on.
Yes.
I'm going on.
Amen.
It may be little by little. It may be that I don't make much ground. But I'm going on.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even if he is pure. Tonight, before I'm through, I might, well, I'll just go right ahead. I won't. I'm going to tell you some of my own experiences of Pentecost. Now, these things, just three little ones that happened to me, some people get their feelings hurt and quit. I had great friends in the AMF. I had great friends in the AMF. I fussed with them, quarreled with them. Well, I don't know why, but they had something that I liked, and they had some more things that I despised. But they did not honor dignitaries. Everybody was just, they put them down. If you had a job, or you'd been elected, or you had volunteered for it, suddenly in their idea and their thinking, you had thought yourself to be something. And they used me a lot to preach until they left and I wouldn't go with them, and they thought I was going to be the West Coast bishop. I never even gave it a thought. But you know, you do have friends along the way. And maybe if you're not here tomorrow, I'll love you while you were here. And then if you do something to cause us to separate, I love Pharisees and Sadducees, but I hate their doctrine. But I love them. I'd like to see them sitting where we are converted, wouldn't you? But I'm going to tell you some things about myself in Pentecost. I'm going to start with first place. Schultz was this man's name. I believe you might have read it in the paper. He went to a university to give a speech, and he told them they did not have to obey the superior court. Anybody read that in the paper? Well, you a lot of Pentecostals don't read the paper much. All right, but let me tell you what he did. They got after him because he, what did they call that court? The Supreme Court. No one read this in the paper. He said, I will not obey the Supreme Court. And they jumped on him being an authority to say, I will not obey the Supreme Court. So they asked him when he got done, how come you to say that? Being in the position you're in. He said, they believe in pornography, and I don't. Well, you know what that meant? That as long as you fellows are thinking that far out, you're not going to twist my mind to say, bending my knee to everything you say, though you be the Supreme Court. You don't think right. Now, what would you do? Would you obey the Supreme Court and everything? If they believed in pornography? Brother Gilmore, would you? Well, you must lack being a good citizen a little word of it. Well, I'm with you. Let's shake hands. I'm just like you. Look at him. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted... You won. All right. Now... I want you to listen to this. This is some experiences I had. One time, I won the Key for Christ offering. I gave $22,222.22. And they came by my place telling me, young men, that up there, you're going to get to preach in general conference. And I said, well, I don't know about that. They said, everyone that wins that preaches in general conference. So finally the day came. I got a letter in the mail that I was going to preach in general conference in Miami, Florida. It looked so good, but as I read on down, it said, write your message out and send it in that you're going to preach. Well, I can't spell very good. I don't know where to put those commas. And so I said to my wife, honey, we better not go. Because I preach more by unction than I do by, well, you know, a month or two ahead, write down your message, send it in. I wonder, do you do that, Brother Erickson, when they put you up to preach, do you have to write it in? How about, do you? You don't have to. I lived over that. I lived over it, happy. Not mad at anybody. In fact, I'm sort of thrilled. It returned to me for testimony. But don't get mad at everything that happened to you. Now, another thing happened to me. This is a very odd one. I called the headquarters and said, young lady, one of the sweetest voices, answered me on the phone and said, I told me who it was, and I said, my name is I.H. Terry. Does anybody have ever PM in the United Pentecost Church? She said, oh, no, Brother Terry. No one has that. No one has ever said they wanted them all. I said, well, put me down. She said, well, you're the first one. And I said, well, good, I did something. I was trying to promote somebody to do something. You don't have to brag on me to keep me happy. I'm happy anyway. I'm happy. I live with me. Wouldn't you be happy if you... All right. But wait a minute. So they sent us all the pictures. They told me how much... She said, you have to give $10 for every one of them up there. And I said, fine. And every time one comes up, would you add it onto my bill? Now, Brother Kilgore and some more of them gave 15 and 16 times more than I gave. But they never called in the headquarters and said, I won't ever pay. So out to my place came a man by the name of Brother Theobald.
He took my picture. He took my secretary's picture for our missions. And said, this will be in the Herald in just a few days. I gave him an offer of about $800. He was driving a big motor haul. He got about 6-7 miles to the gallon. And had his family with him. He preached us a beautiful message. And one day I saw him at a conference. I said, Brother Philbaugh, why didn't that ever come out? He said, Brother Terry, that was stopped up ahead above me. Now, I say this to tell you this. We're not all perfect. Somewhere in this United Pentecostal Church, there's somebody, respected persons, or somebody that don't care for I carry, or somebody thought, well, look, these other men could have done that easy and had done it where you put in a thousand and they put in 10. So I couldn't believe that, you know, because I'd shake your hand. You tell me you love me. You tell me I'm great, no less. So I see him again, and I said, Brother Thibault, you're right, Jerry. He said, you wanted, what did he say, to win? He said, you were number one, Brother Terry. But I told you once, it was stopped at the head of me. It come to me, I took the picture, but when I come back, that was stopped. You heard Brother Hershen, him stand up and acknowledge that at HKG, didn't you? What did that do for you, Brother Jerry? That all great peace in the name of the law and nothing's going to fail. I want to show you all something about this water. While I'm at it. Now hold it. I was debating a camel bringing it. And I wanted a drink, and it was the first debate I'd ever had publicly, and I was so afraid that he knew something I didn't know that I was very nervous. So I didn't want him to know how nervous I was, that water sitting there, and I had to have a drink. So here's the way I drank. He never knew that I was shaking. He never knew that I was shaking. And I still shook. I was afraid he knew something that I didn't know. So finally he got up and said, I believe there are three separate distinct persons in the Godhead, co-equal, co-eternal, co-existing. And I was still shaking. Till he said, here's number one, Jesus being baptized. And the dove descending was number two. I quit shaking. Then the voice was number three. And when I got up to speak, I said, I'd hate to go bird hunting with you. It took that audience about 5 or 10 minutes, some of them, for that to dawn on them that he just called a dove a person. How would you like to go bird hunting with a person? How would you like it? That was number one. Number two, I didn't get mad about preaching at Miami, Florida. I didn't get Brother Kilgore the other day. You got it in the paper. I read where Brother Kilgore had got to take all the missionaries. Did you read it?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, let me tell you something, what that means. Why didn't you say this, Brother Terry? I said this because you need this preaching. Somebody does that I'm going to preach. You need it. Because you're a respected person, are you a little? You ever heard of a little snake? Little one? There's little souls and big souls. You know it? One time I was a presbyter. I got it all one time. Second time I just barely got in. The last time I just got one vote. And wait a minute though, I didn't vote for myself. But when two men, stand up, Brother Price, and Brother Pugh, you stand up. When I talked to two men, I looked at them both like they had voted for me, and I looked at shake hands with me, and I looked at one of them and said, "You really missed it when you didn't give it to vote for me. One, you did smart. The other missed it. I don't know which it was. The one that voted for me, you were smart. The one that didn't, you missed it."
Yeah.
And loved them both because I didn't ask them. You know, you got to have a sort of a sensible side in this family. A brother is born in adversity. We fought when we came into life, me and my brother, till he got a cold night, and then we hugged in the night. The way we did it, we'd act like we'd sleep, we'd pull our arms around each other, get up real close, and didn't want another one to know that we were still mad, but we just act like we'd sleep, you know. All right, but whoever it was, I forgive you about giving it to stopping Brother Theobald and not giving it to me. I forgive you. But I cannot conceive. Well, you're working at it little by little, aren't you? Little by little. You're going on. And I'm going to help hold your head. And you know another thing? I don't want to know who you are. Even if it was the whole missionary board, I wouldn't want to know. You'd say, "Brother Terry, what would you want to do to them?" I'd say, "Well, the way the United Pentecostal Church does some things, I'd want them all to sit on an altar and face the audience while I preached. And do that for 2 years and take their jobs away from them." So if you're out there and you did it, let's just leave it where it is and go on. I forgive you in Christ. And Brother Kilgore, I congratulate you again. You won it. Did you know when I gave 1,000, you gave 10? When I gave 10, you gave 100. You were really entitled. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't believe that you was the man that would have ever let that got by. You'd have said, "We don't do things like that."
That's right.
I believe that.
Yes, sir.
I believe you'd say, "Did Brother Terry win that? With his white tennis shoes on, even if I had them on tonight. If anybody gets the glory, he gets it."
Right.
Well, you got it.
You get it. You get it on me.
He will not forget my labor of love. He promised me that. But that's not the only one that I have. I have another one. One time I went, but this was Brother Morgan was the general superintendent, and they gave him a dinner. And I had had a run-in with a superintendent out on the West Coast, not just over, really, it was just a message. Really, it was the message. And he told me and promised that I got a little black book I carry around with me, and if any of you ever do anything wrong, I write it in this book. And then if you pop off, I turn the book. Well, I knew that book was going to kill him. He's going to lose his job. He had too many names in that book. I'm telling you, he got too many names in that book. So I went up to congratulate. I bought this ticket at the Brother Morgan's dinner and went up to shake hands with him to congratulate him. And he turned on me just like the Bible really says in Timothy, "To them that sin, rebuke openly that others may fear." He turned on me. And I felt so little. I knew I couldn't argue. And I loved the man. And I'd gone to congratulate him because I was thrilled he had the job. And so I turned around and walked out. Brother Urshan was sitting next to him and punched him and said, "Brother Morgan, you got the wrong man." Right? It was 1:30 in the afternoon when my phone rang, and on the other end of the line, a man's voice said, "This is Brother Terry, this is Brother A.T. Morgan. I will be in church with you tonight. And I'll forgive you." And you know what we did? He preached a wonderful message. We went out at church and had a wonderful time. And he went home. He loved him. He had a lot of grace. And little by little. I wonder how long it took him. I don't believe it took him very long. Once he found out he had the wrong man to say, "I'll fix that." He was a gentleman. All right. Now, I'm going to build. Now, wait a minute. Now, I never turned in my license. I never went AML. I just looked at great peace. For it never did affect me that much. It all returned to me for a testimony. For me, no doubt, to tell you. And why you tell us, Brother Jerry, is to be sure, if you have this hope in you, purify yourself even as he's pure. Don't give up. Little by little. Overcome. Now, if it all come the same time, it might have been a bigger hand than I could have handled. But because it came like it did, I overcame it. Coming in, here I am tonight. Still on the way. All right. Now my message. The ministry. That's what I'm going to preach on. I got all the time I want. We the ministry. This first verse that I'm going to give you is not the text of this ministry. Of this. I want you to listen to it. It's in Luke 10, 25, and 29. This is the most important verse, almost, it's one of the most important verses in the entire Bible. Now listen to it. Basically, if you're a preacher, what did it say?
And behold, a certain law...